power of the cross. Well, one way. And obviously the believers, but the believers who follow Justin may not like that. So anyway, those would be my choices if we could. But it's good to be here. Good to have many of you here. I do also want to greet my wife. She's from North Carolina. She came with me, and I'm planning on taking her back so far. And and my niece is here right next to her, Alyssa. So she's, I heard Pennsylvania and Hagerstown, and then right here. She's representing West Virginia. And so we'll need a translator for her if you could. Because I will be preaching in English, to my knowledge, so if you could help her. And I met Brother Prince back there, who is originally from West Virginia, and is admittingly so to it. So that proves he's from West Virginia. So he said, Pastor Wade got all the West Virginia jokes out. So I said, I guess I can't tell any. He said, there's got to be some. And so we'll try. And so let's see. What does, and this is probably used, what does a hurricane in Florida, a tornado in Kansas, and a divorce in West Virginia all have in common? When it's all said and done, somebody's losing a trailer. Okay. You use that one? You've used it. All right. Well, anyway. It's good to be here. I'm going to get right into the message. And normally when you're preaching, you know, you take time to get to know the crowd. We don't have that time. I am speaking to you three times. So in the midst of speaking three times, I may give my testimony. Use some personal illustrations for you to get to know me. But I do know this. I learned as a young preacher, I can never walk into a meeting and just group a bunch of young people as all these teenagers. They're a bunch. You're all individuals. And I'd like for you to give the same courtesy to me as a speaker is, oh, here we go, youth conference again. He's probably, if you could not put the stigmatism on me also of saying, oh, this guy's probably, I'm not going to have one for you. I know that. I know God has something for you. I'm hoping you're here and saying, God, show me something. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, is what the goal is. And if we don't get in the way, that can clearly happen this afternoon. And so I would ask that you do this in just a second. So as we get ready for the service, Brother Hendershot, it's good to see you. We've crossed paths a few times. While I was a college professor there at Champion Baptist College in Hot Springs, Arkansas, his son Travis was a student there, and we taught him and then coached basketball and got to coach Travis, and he was a tremendous young man, helped us in winning three national championships there at Champion Baptist College. He was there for two of them, and a tremendous young man. We had dinner in Hagerstown at Il Castello and found a little Italian hole-in-the-wall place. I love those types of places. And then drove through downtown Hagerstown, and seeing those buildings reminded me of bus routes and everything, the kids in the backyard. Where we were sitting, you could look right out the window, and there were some kids out there playing basketball, the milk crate, you know, cut out the bottom, and it's nailed to the telephone pole, and they were shooting hoop up there. And I texted Aaron Weedo, is the pastor that Travis works for now there in Louisiana, and I said, now I know where Travis got his bulldog, tenacious, unbelievable strength of playing basketball from playing the boys in Hagerstown. And Brother Hendershot, keep on keeping on, and it was a privilege for me and my wife. She's affectionately known through him probably as Mrs. Coach, but having them over and fellowshipping and seeing those young men serving the Lord right now sure is a blessing. Thank you for rearing your sons in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a tremendous-looking platform. When I first got here, I said, man, they really admonished their pastor. Look at his chair. But I later realized it was part of the decorations, okay? But their theme, one day you will face the master. And I don't know if they took time to explain everything for you as they did me, but of course, you know, one day we're going to leave this place called Earth. And we're going to go to one of two places. Our bodies will be buried, but our soul and spirit, it's going to go to a place called hell, and that's what this is depicting over here. And I hope you're seeing that and understanding that as we get through these messages. And then over here, it's because of the cross, and excuse me, I didn't mean to walk through that. Because of the cross and because of the death, burial, and resurrection that does avail us to escape hell. And we don't have to do that. And so if we can believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, died, was buried, and rose again, then when we die, that's not even a concern of ours. To all those who will receive Jesus Christ their Savior, that's not even a concern. Now, what will happen to those folks is what you see here. There's the jury box. There is the defendant's table. There's you are here. And when I stand up there, they're going to say, okay, why do you belong in here? And I'm just going to say, Jesus Christ. And from that point on, they'll say, okay, go ahead and enter in. And then I go to this one. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. How will your works be judged? And they go, Clint, you went to Maryland and preached a youth conference. Did you just go up there flippantly and just spend a few days with your wife? Or did you do that out of a love and concern to keep people out of hell? And did you do that to help people strengthen their relationship with Jesus Christ? And did you do that? And these are going to be weighed on why I did and how I did that. But this meeting, I'll not stand at. From my scripture reading, I think we'll be witnesses of this. And for those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior, what's going to happen is they're going to stand, and Revelation tells us that the books were opened. And one of those books that were opened was called the Book of Life, and it says, whosoever was not found written therein. So they're going to go, Hartman. Oh, there it is, Aaron Hartman. You made it. Let me make sure it's not a typo. No, yeah, you made it. I can't believe, yeah, he's trusting. Yeah, you go in. Let's see, Clint Fredericks. Yep, right there, June 29th, 1990. Yep, go ahead. But at this judgment seat, there'll be a lot of people. So they're going to call their name, and they're going to say, can you check again? Wait a minute, can you get my church roll sheet? I was on the right. I attended youth group for so many years. Yeah, but we're checking this book, and I don't have your name in this book. Yeah, but I didn't miss a service for 7 months. I attended a Bible club at my school. No, no, you don't understand. And many, many will say unto him that day, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? And at this judgment, it's going to be, depart from me, I never knew you. Because see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep. And at this point, it's going to be, I never knew you. It's our choice. It's our choice. Now, for all of this to work and take place, I'm just laying a foundation in this meeting. And if you'll allow me, please, after this first service, you're going to, this guy, I can't believe he brought him in for a youth. I really want to lay a foundation in this meeting. And in the afternoons, I'll be a lot more preachy, I'm sure. I really feel that way. But if you'll just bear with me. This is either all true or all false. It's not just, we can't just pick it, yeah, well, you know, I just want to do that heaven part, but you know, whether or not my motives were good or bad, I mean, as long as it's all, hey, it's the results matter. It's either all true or it's all false. And so what is the basis of it being all true or all false? The Bible. It's the Bible. The Bible is our mark for determining whether or not this is true or false. And the same way as with the Bible, either the Bible is all true, or if there's just one lie or one problem with it, well then, if we can't believe what the Bible says, then how can we believe this? And how can we believe that? And how can we believe that? And how can we believe that? And if it's all just up in the air, well, let's just live on earth, make as much money as we can have, and live like the bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys at the end wins. But if you're going to trust the Bible, we better know the Bible. We better understand the Bible. So can I say to you young people here today, in a day and age that we live in which maybe different authorities in our lives, be it a mother or a father, be it a person in leadership at school, a principal, a teacher, be it a pastor or a youth pastor, though a human instrument of some sort may have let you down, can I remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And you can always trust the Bible. And this morning, I just simply want to say, would you trust the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is where we're going to read, and then I'm going to give you several. A little intimidating, Brother Aaron, all those empty lines. You want kids to take notes. I hope I say enough stuff they could do that. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is what is right, for reproof, that is what is wrong, For correction, that is how to get right. For instruction, that is how to stay right. In righteousness, why? That the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible was given to us so we can be complete, body, soul, and spirit. And so we can be complete and trust in Christ as our Savior and give an instruction on how we should live and can enjoy the Christian life. And when we make some mistakes, we're reproved. And when we learn more doctrine, we get to do more right. And the more we know, the more we can do. And we're admonished to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know why we do what we do and to study the word of God so we can motivate us to do more for God. The word of God, if not trusted, cannot be in the help of anybody's life. There's got to be a reason why. The Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he looks at his telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is a thing to be looked through to see what is beyond, but most people only look at it, and so they only see the dead letters. They see black ink on white paper. A Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase, I heard someone say when I was in college. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. I'm not worried about finding faults in the Bible. I'm worried enough fixing the faults that the Bible shows in me. How can we expect to walk down this dark path that's in front of us unless we have a guide? Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we take the word of God, as we use the word of God, as we hold the word of God, it serves as a lantern, as a lamp to show us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And those are ordered because the light shows down the path and says, whoa, whoa, nah, we better not go down that one. Ah, let's go down this one. This, oh, yeah. We must have a guide. The Bible is our guide. And this, again, is the foundation, so stay with me, young people. I can't make it myself, so why should I use the Bible? Because you can trust it. Listen, young person, you can trust the Bible. Now, in our young age, we're going to want an exact scripture and reference on things, but we have to understand this. So there may not be an exact scripture and reference verse that says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. There are principles taught from the Bible which help us to live on the thou shalt and thou shalt nots, okay? So, though we know there is not a verse that says specifically that you shouldn't do this or that, the principles are always clear in here. You know, I'm from North Carolina. We live in, Rural Hall is right next to Tobaccoville, the largest nicotine corporation there, Reynolds Corporation. Their warehouse is 10 acres big, the building. And they continue to make it and manufacture and this and that. But our preacher still stands up and preaches how you should not defy your body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. And we're going to preach that principle, though it may not say in Scripture, thou shalt not smoke. Though in Scripture it may not say, thou shalt not dip, thou shalt not chew. And we got loving church members who sit in our pews who do this. But the principles are still in there. You understand me? We're still going to preach it's right for a husband to love his wife and a wife to love her husband, but we still probably have people in our church pews that probably don't do that all the time. But the principles are still right. You understand that? And so though institutions may stand up and say marriage between a man and a man is okay and marriage between a woman and a woman is okay, I'm going to stick with Scripture principle that states He made the woman to be a help for the man. God instituted the home, God instituted the church, God instituted the government. I understand that. So we must understand these principles. So I want to just give you, we're not going to talk about the Genevan text and Westcott and Hort and all these things, but I just want to give you some common sense things right now, young person, on for you to know this. You can trust the Bible. You can trust the Bible because of its principles. 39 different writers from different times, different locations, and different generations over a 1,500-year time period, and cross-references within each other, these 39 writers, and zero contradictions. Zero. 0. Any cross-referential commonality between at least two writers would be a valid account. We call that citing resources. If you're in high school and you write any papers, or in college for that some matter, they'll say you have to cite your resources. You must have at least two valid. You can't just say, well, Google says. That doesn't count. You need to cite the resource, which book, which this, which blog, and then give the credit to them, and you must have at least two. The Bible has 39. So why can we trust the Bible, young person? I'm going to tell you right now. You can trust the Bible because of fulfilled prophecy. If we just looked at the Bible as a book of fulfilled prophecy, now it's much more than that, please, understand me. But if we just looked at fulfilled prophecy, there's over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled, 48 in the life of Christ alone, like these. His birth was predicted in Hosea 11:1 and fulfilled in Matthew 2:14. 700 years prior to his birth, it was predicted. His betrayal in Zechariah 11 and fulfilled in Matthew 26, 500 years difference. His beating in Isaiah 53 and fulfilled in Matthew 26, 700 years different. Now this one gets me. I like, they're all good. But his crucifixion was predicted 500 years before his death and 200 years before crucifixion was even invented as a way of death by the Romans. Does that sink in yet? Here's how you have to think of it. If we were to back up today 200 years, we would have been just after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, 1700s. All right? Let's just make it an even 1800. Can you imagine George Washington and James Hancock and these guys going, hey, I tell you what, why don't we put in the Declaration of Independence about Skype? How we can video conference one another through computers. Ben Franklin just be cleaning out his feather to help write some more things going, a computer, what? Oh, listen, 200 years from now, man, on these iPhones, here's what they're, we probably want to get an app called the Declaration of Independence, so 200 years from now, these people can look at it and read it on their phones. Our founding forefathers would have hung that guy, man. That's what crucifixion, it wasn't even invented yet by the Romans, yet predicted before it would even be done. His brokenless legs were predicted in Psalm 34. His burial in Isaiah 53. Now, when you just think about this, I want you to understand how important the fulfilled prophecy is. We're here in Maryland. I'm assuming, I guess, do y'all root for the Washington Nationals? Do you have a baseball team in here? Yeah? No? Orioles? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore Orioles. Okay. The Fighting Showalters, right? The Baltimore Orioles. And so, okay, yeah. But the Orioles. But the crazy thing is this, you know, really, there's so many fans of New York Yankee fans. The odds of someone being a New York Yankee fan is 1 in 10 people. And we heard some sinner out here yell Yankees, so that's okay. We'll have the altar open at the end of the service. You can get right with the Lord. The odds of someone being a Yankee fan are 1 in 10. The odds of someone hitting a hole-in-one. Any golfers here? The odds of hitting a hole-in-one. I'm not talking about, you know, the windmill and, you know, up the hill, down the hill. The odds of hitting a hole-in-one are 1 in 5,000 people to hit a hole-in-one. The odds of bowling a 300. Any bowlers here? Any guys? And you admit to it. Okay, yeah. And if your hands get, just put a... The bowlers. 1 in 11,500 people will bowl a 300. Fireworks? I'm from the South, so, you know, we do. I don't know what y'all do up north, but in the South, anything that can burn and blow up is a firework, you know? And famous last words of a redneck. Hey, watch this. And So anything, but we were in Arkansas. We lived there for a while, Brother Rob, and we went to this home. This guy lived on the lake, and he kind of had tiers. His house was here, then the next tier was the pool, right, Brother Gallus's. Then the next one's kind of like a picnic area. Then the last one went down to the lake, and so we were all spread out on the hill just watching the fireworks. You know, we had the tape player, dun, 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 and they're down there lighting them, woo, yeah, and they're going up. And they had these little a little contraption they made to put the bottle rockets in and everything, and then they shoot them up. Well, as they were putting them in, we're all up on the hill, just different layers. They put five or six of them in and then lit them and backed up. When they backed up, the guy kind of hit it with his foot, and they all fell down. And they all shot at us right up the hill, man. You talk about 3D. This was just, everyone's, all the men were hiding behind their wives. It was that kind of day. It was spooky. And but the odds of one getting injured by fireworks are 1 in 20,000. The odds that someone will strike it rich on the antique roadshow is 1 in 60,000. The odds that someone would get hit by lightning are 1 in 700,000. The odds that someone's house would get hit by a meteorite is 1 in 18 to the 13th power. I don't even know the name of that number, but know this. It's got 13 zeros behind the 18. That's a big number, right? Listen to this. The odds of just three prophecies of the three here. Just any three. You choose any. The odds of just three coming to fruition is 1 to 10 to the 28th power. Now, I don't think that means anything to us. I mean, it's just a long number. We probably need to sharpen our pencil halfway writing that thing out. I understand that. So I looked up, and we had a lady in our church who worked with numbers, and she was one of those graduates with a lot of degrees. And I said, what does this mean? And she said she kind of came up with this idea of what 1 in 10 to the 28th power is. Picture the state of Texas. Can y'all do that? Texas. And then let's just picture there's no houses, no buildings, nothing, just flat land of Texas. And they said, cover the state of Texas in quarters, 2 feet deep. Are you with me so far? State of Texas, 2 feet deep, quarters throughout the whole state. Mark one of those quarters with a red X. Blindfold someone and say, go find the quarter with the red X. That is 1 in 10 to the 28th power. That are the odds, they say, of three prophecies being fulfilled. The Bible has 300. You can trust the Bible because of fulfilled prophecy. Can you just start in the book of Genesis and trust God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And if it would happen there, don't you really understand that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die? Don't you understand the principle in the Bible that you will sow after you reap? Don't you understand these principles that they're laid out, they will come to fruition? You can believe it because of, as we said, fulfilled prophecy. You can trust the Bible because of popular opinion. Popular opinion. Hey, let's go to history class right now, okay? Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Whoa, what a great day. That's the day we realized what? The world is round. 1492. You know, in scriptures, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, in 712 BC, so if we do the math, we're 21 years before. 21 years before was written, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. We keep going. How about medical science? Let's keep going with one of our founders, George Washington in 1799. It's a shame on how he died. He was sick. And so they said, well, let's leech him to death, a medical practice commonly known. Let's suck all the bad blood out of our president. That wouldn't be a bad idea today. No, okay, and so, sorry. I don't know if we have enough leeches. All right, so So they thought to suck all the bad blood out, but what happens? You're sucking not just the bad blood. What else are you sucking out? All the good blood. He bled to death. You know, it would have helped if we looked at some scripture verses like Leviticus 17:14, which stated, for it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is of the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat of no blood of no manner, for the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. The life of the flesh is the blood thereof. Not only is that to remind us to live here, but he also reminds us in Hebrews when he says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. You can trust the Bible because of fulfilled prophecy, popular opinion, medical science. You can trust the Bible because of astronomy. When I declare the sun, the moon, the stars, when I look at them, what is man? What is man? I just look at all that. Took my son on a field trip one day. We went and saw the constellations, and this guy from Cal Berkeley gave his dissertation about the solar system is billions of years old and all this that he was going on, and he says it's amazing that the sun is deteriorating. It's getting smaller and smaller. It's probably going to burn out in about 50,000 years. And I said, so, and he goes, any questions? I really wasn't trying to be warm. I mean, I would have asked, but I said, yeah. So if it's deteriorating, doesn't that mean if we back up 50,000 years that the sun would have been that much bigger then? And if it was that much bigger, wouldn't we have all burned up? And don't you, really, what happened? It really didn't start until, you know, aerosol cans of hairspray and we started to kill the ozone. La, 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 la. Can we just say God made it and put it all in the exact place where he wanted to be, to where the sun and earth are exactly 93 million miles apart, to where we're not too far to be too cold and not too close to be too hot? And just, well, okay, maybe a few days in the summer it does get very warm, but I'm just saying it's not too close to burn us up, fry us, and kill us. It's not too cold that we're living in like an Antarctic type thing. God placed it exactly where he wants it to be. Moon dust, we thought when it landed. I wasn't alive to see it. But when that lunar thing landed, you realize those legs were made longer because they thought through the millions and millions of years they'd be at least 14 to 16 feet of moon dust that they'd have to settle on. When they landed, they said, there's only a few inches. Something's wrong. No, God is right. How about through biology? Human flesh is different than animal flesh. Y'all know it's okay to eat Bambi. It's okay to eat those animals we hunt and shoot. It's not okay to eat Aunt Claire, though. We know that, right? I mean, the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 15:39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. I mean, we do understand that. Well, the Bible was saying that long before us. We can trust the Bible because of geology. In geology, there's what's known as the laws of thermodynamics, proven laws stated that are taught in our colleges and universities. The first law of thermodynamics is matter cannot be created or destroyed. The second law of thermodynamics is what's called entropy. Entropy is a principle of everything is winding down. If I were to take a top and spin it right there, eventually it's going to stop spinning. It's going to stop and just fall down. Everything is winding down. A proven known law of thermodynamics, which totally goes against a theory, a conjecture, a guess of evolution. Evolution says everything's getting better and better. This is my guess that it's getting better and better and better. Yet it goes against a proven law taught in our colleges and universities that entropy says everything is winding down. Can I tell you, by him all things consist. Can I tell you, in the beginning God. Can I tell you, the easy way to tell the Bible is true is because it changed lives. The lives that this book has changed and its principles has changed is a prime example of why you can trust the Bible. It takes a Roman Catholic altar boy and turns his life around to be a pastor of a church in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It takes a boy who's living in a home of just him and his mama and a drunkard father and turns him into a pastor to start colleges and other churches across this great country. It takes a young man in California, sends him off to Watertown, Wisconsin, graduate from Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and start a college and a church and everything in Santa Clara, California. It's about a book that was preached, a book that was believed, and a book that was included into the life of a young person who says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You can trust the Bible to change lives. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now, you listen carefully to me. We use that as a salvation verse. I understand. But the book of Corinth was written to save people. And when we say, if any man be in Christ, I tend to study that to say that we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if we understand that Christ is God, if any man be in God, be in the Word, if we get in this Word, we can help learn to become a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Oh, when we trust Christ, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, we go straight and we're going to get this. But to grow in Christ, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, we're going to have to get into the book. And we don't just trust the book that we go to heaven, but we trust the book that we can live on earth. We trust the book to give us joy unspeakable and make us full of glory. We trust the book to help us understand, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We trust the book so we can do those things that always please Him. We trust the book so we could say, the thief has come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It's all in the book. So the question for you is, as you get ready to one day you will face the master, the question for you is this: will you trust what he says? He gave us a book. He gave us a book, a map, a light, whatever you want to call it. I gave you all those stats earlier. 1 out of 10 Yankee fans, 1 out of 10 to the 28th power. There is one more stat I wanted to leave you with as I finish, and that's this. 1 out of every 1 person that lives will die. And you will face the master. How you face him is up to you. But you will face the master. Philippians 2:10-11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, those folks who are in Hollywood who want to profess their own glory and say, this award right here is my Jesus Christ. And hey, if he was really a God up there, then strike me dead. But I'm here to tell you, I've worked hard for this, and this is my award, and I'm glad I got this. And if they don't want to do that, they can. But one day, they will kneel. And they will say, you are God. And Jesus will probably turn and say, depart from me. I don't see your name written in here. Boy, you've got some nice awards. You had the longest running TV show for 6 years. Boy, you won 3 championships. Boy, look at that. You had more money in the bank for 6 months. But I don't see your name in here. And those people would be cast aside. And those whose names are in there, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 1 out of every 1 person that lives will die. Are you ready to face the master? I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What is that day? That is the day you'll face the master. But I know whom I believed in, and am persuaded that he is committed to keep that. He's going to keep. Jesus Christ will keep what I said. Jesus, I'm trusting you, and I'm going to need that. And that day when I stand right here, that day is coming. And he says, Clint, why do you deserve access into heaven? Jesus Christ, I'm persuaded. Jesus Christ said his death. That's what I'm trusting. All right, come on in. We're going to use the Bible in the next 2 times I stand up and preach. But I want you to understand, every time the Word of God is open, something's going to be said that can help you. That can help you, 1, trust Christ as your personal Savior. Or 2, strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What do you need today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening.